When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of E2C Network, where we share the whole Auburn experience.
All right, so we are both now 3-3, or 3-0, sorry. Missouri, that's the next game. Going to be September 24th. Last year, Missouri went 6-7. They started to kind of get their groove back a little bit better than they had previous seasons. It's still kind of interesting to me to just think back to. It's been so long since we played Missouri. I mean, it's been so long. And I this is so weird. We're in the same conference, and yet we don't play Missouri but every, 8-10 years? Like, that doesn't feel like a conference at that point. Like, the last time I think we played them was SEC Championship, where you got matched up against them. Isn't that weird?
We haven't played Florida in a while. Well, we did that in 2019, I guess. Never mind. It is kind of weird, and... I'll gladly swap them out for Georgia on the east.
Oh yes.
And that's probably something like that's probably coming when Oklahoma and Texas join us. I think it's going to be a little more, swapping around. It's going to have to be.
Yeah. I'll be curious. And this is a different conversation for a different day. I'll be curious to see if they go more geographic, because obviously Missouri is way in the west, but they're on the SEC East. So yeah.
Yeah.
Side note for another day.
Yeah, for sure.
So this is kind of an interesting Missouri offense, because they were very good against kind of the average teams. So their offense was scoring points, making big plays. But as soon as they got a good opponent, nothing. Like, they floundered on offense. They are bringing back, I believe they're bringing back the same quarterback. So we'll just kind of have to see how that goes. Their running back, he was kind of like their main piece that they're really, really good at last year. But then you kind of factor in their offensive line, not so great. They're definitely a work in progress. And, it's kind of like Auburn's situation. And you're thinking, if you can't open up a hole, even the best running backs can't do a whole lot. So, we'll be kind of interesting to see in the first few games how Missouri's offense looks. And we'll probably reevaluate, once we get up to the Missouri week, what we think about this game. But as of now, I'm feeling pretty darn good about it, considering Missouri's defense was second worst defense in the SEC. So I feel pretty, if we have any kind of semblance of an offense, we should be able to move the ball on them. And Missouri's defense is terrible, like one of the worst at stopping the run. They allowed 5.3 yards per carry last year. So imagine, Tank Bigsby averaging 5 yards a carry. I think we win that game.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty easily. So I'll give my score prediction. I think Auburn's going to win this game pretty easily. Now, it's Missouri. It's an SEC team. But I just don't see Missouri in Jordan Hare making, coming and beating us in Auburn. I just don't see it. So I think Auburn's going to win by 17 points. And I think that's a good, I feel like we could do it, especially if our offense is going, because we can attack their run defense a lot and just probably run the ball a lot, which sounds to be like that's kind of our MO this year for offense. So, Jared, what are you kind of feeling about this Missouri game? Sitting right between the Penn State and the LSU game.
Flashbacks of Tennessee 2018, I think, because I don't know. I just, any SEC game, anybody can win, right? Because I think at that point Tennessee had not won in a long, long time in the SEC. We were the better team.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Yeah, it was just bad. So, I want to be real confident about it, and I am. I mean, my score is going to show that, but, you never know. It's SEC conference play is a little weird. I don't know why there's a difference there, but I think it's 31-14, but and some people might be like, well, that's pretty confident. And it is, but I mean, I don't think it's going to be like, you know, blowout in hand the whole game. I think eventually it becomes that. So, yeah, 31-14 is my thought on it.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much right in line with what I'm thinking. And even if you look at ESPN's predictor, they're saying Auburn wins 85% of the time kind of through their predictive modeling. So it'll be kind of interesting. Yeah, at that point in our season, is Missouri peaking? Or, you know, where's Auburn's offense at that moment? Because I think those that's going to be kind of, you know, how determined do we end up winning by a lot that game. All right, next game, we've got LSU. We are playing them October 1st. I'm kind of hoping for an evening game on that one. The time hasn't been announced, but I just feel like LSU games, as long as we're not in Baton Rouge, I want it to be a night game. Like, I just feel like there's a cool ambiance about it and gives us that edge over LSU. This is Brian Kelly's, you know, the previous Notre Dame head coach, his first year of coaching LSU. You know, I just think back to Jared, you know, one of the first press conferences Brian Kelly had, or one of the first time he was just talking with people, and you could hear like the Cajun accent coming out, and you're like, what the heck? Like, he doesn't have a Cajun accent. But he was, I guess, trying to, like, fit in or something down at LSU. You're like, dude, seriously, you're trying a little too hard here.
There's a guy who does a great Saban impression. He went on to work at Barstool, and I don't think he does anymore, but he does videos, and he does a great duo video of them all the time where he'll have Brian Kelly trying to be like, well, I declare, you know, saying Southern stuff, and he's not from the South.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah, he gave a speech at a basketball halftime or rally, and it was bad.
Oh, like, yes.
Dude, you're not from the South. Like, it sounded really bad. Yeah, so, I mean, he's coming in. The thing about Kelly, now listen, I would have taken Brian Kelly probably over Harsin because he's proven at a higher level. But the thing about Kelly is he's never really had a ton of success against SEC teams. And if you watch his Notre Dame teams play, they weren't, like, super flashy. They just, in the end, kind of outmanned and wore down their opponent.
Mm.
I don't know if you can do that in the – well, he's going to have LSU talent, right? But I just don't know if his philosophy is going to be – it's going to wow any teams or surprise any teams. So,
yeah. Because I look at Brian Kelly as, you know, a pretty proven winner, at least at Notre Dame. Like, he knows what he was doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the piece that I'm like, okay, I have a feeling he can make, you know, something happen at LSU. But will, you know, like you mentioned, will kind of his personality and the way he coaches match up with what LSU needs?
If Ed Orgeron and Les Miles can win a championship at LSU, anybody can.
So true.
So, yeah, I mean, that piece is scary, right? But so if you're saying who scares you more at LSU, Lane Kiffin or Brian Kelly, to me it would be Lane Kiffin because the talent he could get there, his offense would be ridiculous.
Oh, yes.
Brian Kelly just doesn't scare me as a, oh, there's no way to slow down this team.
No, you you make a great point. Like, I don't look at a Brian Kelly offense and be like, oh, wow, this dude's going to, you know, do some crazy stuff. But if you put a, you know, somebody like a Lane Kiffin, he can make a 3-star wide receiver into a 5-star by the end of his career.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, but I mean, I think we win that game. ESPN's got us predicted to win it. I mean, I'm going to put us let's see, 17-10. I'll go 17-10 on that one.
Really? Pretty low scoring on that one?
Yeah, it usually is low scoring in that game for, you know, a lot of defensive talent.
Yeah.
There's not a ton of high-scoring LSU-Auburn games that I can recall, especially not in Jordan Hare.
Yeah.
That's where I'm going with that. How about you?
I'm feeling that we're going to win. I would love to see a win because then we would be 5-0 at this point. I think we can do it. And I think there's a legitimate chance just because it is a first-year head coach. He's bringing in his whole system. And honestly, LSU lost a lot. They lost a lot of talent. Now, LSU is one of those teams that just they get the whole state of Louisiana to come to LSU. So, you know, they rebuild pretty quickly. But there's definitely some question marks, especially around, like, the quarterbacks. Like, they I think their whole season will kind of crux on who their quarterback's going to be and if their quarterback's successful. Again, we both have them winning, so we're both still 5-0. And then we go to Georgia. So, in Athens, October 8th, this is going to be, as always, a very tough matchup. Georgia already preseason ranked number 3. This is going to be Auburn's probably their first ranked opponent. And I mean, just think about, Georgia, the state of Georgia. If you're a Georgia fan, you're like, we just got to keep, going to national championships. And they're, as long as they keep their focus and beat Auburn, they're going to be headed towards that direction. And so that's kind of my concern. They're going to have a laser focus on, this is going to be a team that could beat us in Athens. We're not going to let it happen. So that's just kind of how I'm thinking Georgia is going to be at that point. So, all right, Jared, what are you kind of feeling for this Georgia game being in Athens? You and I living in Georgia, I feel like there's a lot of mixed emotions about it, especially now with them, winning the national championship last year. It's just like, I don't want it to happen again. I really don't.
Yeah, it's hard for me to spend a lot of time on this game because I don't think we win it. So I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I think we lose 31-21. And honestly, us scoring 21 against Georgia would probably be a sign of improvement. We've struggled offensively against them for a while. So I hope I'm wrong. But, yeah, I think we lose 31-21 up there.
Yeah. I have a very similar feeling. I mean, we just haven't shown that we can even hang with them, at least not yet. And I don't know if a year of players developing and getting better is enough to, get better enough to win that. So I'm kind of in the same boat. I think this is our first loss. We're going to probably lose pretty similar, probably by 10 points, somewhere around there. If Auburn puts up 21 points, Jared, I'm going to be excited, but I think it's probably going to be like 14, 17 points, somewhere around there that Auburn scores. So,
yep, I agree.
A couple other things just, with Georgia while we're on this topic, Stetson Bennett, he's going to be a senior this year. And isn't it crazy, like, just to think, like, a guy that was a walk-on, won the job over, top-ranked JT Daniels out of high school. And now JT Daniels has gone to West Virginia. And, now Stetson Bennett has another chance to come win another national championship. And you got to think that's on everybody's mind. We've done it in the past. We can do it again. The only pieces they really need to replace are the running backs. And that's about it. And those guys, just the way Georgia kind of produces running backs, I don't think they're going to have any issues with that. So,
yeah, pretty sure Georgia has like 2 or 3 five-star quarterbacks on their team right now, and Stetson Bennett's going to be the starter. I mean, Stetson Bennett was the one that broke their, 40-year curse. So,
yeah.
The thing about Georgia is it's what you aspire to be honest with you, because most teams rely, even Bama last year, relied on quarterback to be good. And that's not typical for Bama, but they needed the quarterback to be good. Georgia probably could have rolled anybody out there. Just don't screw it up. They were so solid on D and solid on the offensive line and Bennett went above and beyond that. He had some good throws, and key points. But essentially, just don't screw it up. They don't have to have great quarterback play to be good. And that is very, very rare. Most college football teams have to have great quarterback play to be good.
Oh, I agree. And what's honestly very impressive to me is Stetson at key moments has been that for Georgia.
He's had moments of being really good. But, he's not – there's still – you would still, if you're starting a team right now, would pick many, many more quarterbacks in the country over him.
Absolutely.
But at Georgia, it fit. It works.
Right. Well, and you kind of think back to like the Alabamas of the world. Like, there were so many Alabama quarterbacks that were just the game manager. And guess what? Bama still won national championships until you got the Tuas and the Mac Jones of the world, and they made it work. Georgia's kind of proving that again.
Yeah, I mean, even Clemson, you know, and they're Bama and Georgia are really the only ones I can think of in recent history. I mean, even Clemson relied on, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson, or, you know, you needed almost superhuman quarterback play to get over that hump. But yeah, Bama and Georgia have been able to do it in Pat. Now, last year, Bryce Young, I think it's Bryce Young, that's his name. Yeah, he's what mm-hmm. made Bama what they were, because they weren't as solid at other places. But anyways, yep, that's my thought on it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's move on to Ole Miss. So we've got an away game at Ole Miss. And this one, honestly, I think I mentioned this already. This one honestly scares me a good bit. A little bit more than I maybe should. Ole Miss right now, preseason ranked number 21. I just think Lane Kiffin, he's going to have something, you know, cooking for us, because we've had some like very interesting games where we've beaten them. And I don't know. Like, I just have a feeling he might have something. I think the big question mark in my mind is their quarterback. Kind of how that plays out. Because Matt Corral left for the NFL. And, you know, they got to kind of figure out what that looks like. Because for a Lane Kiffin offense, you gotta have a pretty decent quarterback. At least somebody you can throw the ball around a good bit. So, yeah. I think Auburn is – we could win this one. We could go shock Ole Miss, but I honestly don't think it's going to happen. I'm going to honestly predict that we're going to lose by 7 points. It's probably going to be a little bit higher, like a 24-31 type game. But yeah, I just don't see us, you know, beating Ole Miss right now. Maybe come the game, I'm going to be super hyped and probably will be. But this is one I'm already just saying, yeah, we're going to lose this one. So, Jared, what's your thoughts on the Ole Miss game?
I'm going to flip the score, 31-24 Auburn. Ole Miss is good. Lane Kiffin's good. But he had one of the best quarterbacks they've had at Ole Miss ever last year. And they still, you know, we got a big – that was another thing. Well, we held them off, but, man, we were a big on them. You know, we just didn't score in the second half and still beat them. So, we've gone down there. I feel like we've gone down there and faced potentially more dangerous Ole Miss offenses. They've had good offense. They've had ridiculous receivers there for
yes.
like 10 years in a row.
Yeah.
And we've gone down there and every year still handled it and won. I think, you know, last year what got them over that hump of being 10-3 was the D coordinator that they had there kind of figured some things out. And they started actually playing good defense. They hadn't done that in a while.
Yeah.
He's gone now. He went to Texas A&M. So I think they're probably going to be more back to typical Ole Miss defense. I mean, even Kiffin said that when they lost him. He talked about what a big loss that was. So I think, you know, they're going to have a good offense, no doubt, but can they stop the run? I just don't think – listen, I know people are mad at Auburn and they're recruiting, okay, and you should be, because we're not where we need to be. But we're still ahead of – so if you're going to use that same philosophy with Georgia and Bama against us and A&M, you can use the same philosophy against Auburn, against Ole Miss, Arkansas, Mississippi State, right? Like, we're in between those two groups. We're ahead of the Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, still, even with all the turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
So we should have better players. We should go in there and be able to get the job done. And I think we will.
Yeah. I can see it happening that way. Just for some reason right now, I just can't convince myself.
I don't blame you.
And I'm trying to think.
We could lose 10 games. I mean, I literally could see us going 9-3 or 3-9.
I mean, isn't that crazy? Like,
it's
I think
Auburn.
It's so Auburn, man. Man, what a time! I mean,
yeah.
All the craziness to happen, and you're just like, hey, this could, you know, bring this team together, or it could crumple them. And you're like, that's a weird, like, how Auburn of that, like, just the extremes. All right, so after Ole Miss, we get a bye week, and that'll be real nice. You know, it'll be after 7 games. At this point, I think, Jared, do you have us, what is that, 6-1, I think? Is that right?
Yeah. National championship aspirations.
Oh, man. I'm just thinking back to, you know, last year when it was November and we were like, yeah, if we went out, we could go to the SEC championship. Like, there's a way we can do it. And you're like, the odds of this, like, even I was trying to like convince myself, yeah, it can happen. Odds of it, very slim, but you never know. Yeah. So I'm just trying to like temper my expectations a little bit. So that's why I think I'm at 5-2 now, because I'm like, losing to Georgia, probably Ole Miss. It's honestly not that bad. It's really not.
No, from the overall perspective of the season, as I've said, if we take care of home, take care of our home games, we'll be all right. And you still got us doing that so far. Now, you may not in a moment. We'll find out.
But. Yeah, we will see. All right. So after the bye week, we have Arkansas. And this will be at home. Arkansas was a team last year that kind of, you know, I think, over exceeded some of their expectations. They went 9-4, 4-4 in the SEC. Sam Pittman, he's not the flashiest guy. He's not, you know, his offenses and defenses aren't going to be the craziest, but they got the job done. And that's impressive to me for a guy, you know, it's not the big name head coach that's, you know, doing this at Arkansas. It's Sam Pittman. Like, it's Sam Pittman. So I think this will be really interesting to kind of see, do they, you know, continue with this trend of, you know, potentially having a great season, like a 9-4 season at Arkansas, or do they kind of fall back into what I think of a more normal Arkansas team of like a 6-6, maybe 7-5 type season? Where do they kind of land in that? So I think that's yet to be seen. I'm leaning right now towards they start falling back, but it was really impressive last year to kind of see that culture that Arkansas was bringing, and everybody on the Arkansas team bought into it, and they made some crazy good wins last season that I honestly didn't think that they could do. So, Jared, what's kind of your thoughts on Arkansas as a team, and, you know, how Auburn matches up against them?
You know, I tend to lean more towards them falling back down to reality. We do this with everything in society. We weren't predicting Arkansas to be great, so they had a pretty good season. So now we think they're great. Yeah. It's like no, I mean,
they were still 4-4 in the SEC. That's great.
Yeah, them being better than you thought does not mean they're going to go on to be great, right? Now, it could be that, but here's the reality with them, okay? So they benefited last year from what I'm hoping we do this year. They had several players on the defensive side especially come back for – they used a COVID exclusion and they came back. They had people that could have gone left and didn't. So they had a lot of senior leadership there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just solid guys that have been around a long time. We got the same thing this year now with a lot of our players. So those people are gone. They've even had some – I mean, they've had like two or three players transfer in the past 2 weeks.
Whoa. Yeah, that's crazy, like, right before
like
the season.
Like a receiver, defensive player for sure. I know those two guys did. So what's going on there? These guys transferred in from the portal, and they have left, which means they probably got to sit. So they're willing to leave to sit out. So I don't know what's going on there. I will say this. Sam Pittman is a great example of hiring good coordinators. He's got Kendall Briles. I don't know. It's Art Briles' son. And regardless of what you think of the Briles family, they're smart at football. So he's got him on the offensive side. He went and got the former Missouri head coach on the defensive side, who was a defensive genius. So they do have good coordinators. I just think, again, if you're going to use the same argument about us being behind other people in talent, Arkansas is behind us. Mm-hmm. It's at home. I think we win the ball game.
Yeah. I have a feeling we win too. And I was just thinking back, you know, how Gus had his way with Arkansas. Like, he just wanted to absolutely demolish Arkansas. And Gus kind of had, you know, a super great record right after a bye week. So you combine both of those things. If Gus Malzahn was, you know, still our head coach and we're playing Arkansas right after a bye week like we are, I think we win by 50. Like, legitimately. Like,
yeah,
I think we
right.
win by 50.
You're probably right.
Now, this is Brian Harsin. He doesn't have it out for Arkansas. He just wants to win. And I think it'll be still a win. But not 50 points. I think it'll be closer to like 10-14. So my official will be 10 points. I think we'll beat them by. So, Jared, 30, what are you feeling?
35-21.
Got it.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Auburn fans. I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs, especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, e2cnetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
We both have us winning, so that gets us on to the next game, which is Mississippi State. So this one is in Sark Vegas, you know, with all the clinga-clingas over there, all those cowbells. So not the greatest. Every time I've gone, I think I've gone 3 times now to Mississippi State, I've come out of Starkville with a headache. And I don't think that's a coincidence. Like, I really don't. I think it's those cowbells. Like, how do people that go to those games really, like, how do they not get headaches? Do they put earplugs in or something? Like, I don't understand. I just don't.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I've never been, so don't plan on going either.
Yeah. It's way out in the middle of nowhere, and unless you're planning on going to the middle of nowhere, why would you go to nowhere? Like,
that's very philosophical. That's like a TED Talk, AJ.
You're
mixing TED Talk with a podcast.
Good. Yeah, I love some good philosophy. So, last year, Mississippi State under Mike Leach went 7-6.
About it. Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the game. Never mind. Carry on. The game that we blew. All right, I'll let you finish. Carry on.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that one. So, I think we're gonna skip over that.
I'm kidding with you.
But Mike Leach, we all know him. He's the pirate. He's the, you know, we're gonna throw the ball a billion million times. And guess what? He's got a third-year quarterback in Will Rogers. And Will Rogers, you know, I have to give him some credit. He improved, and so did Mississippi State's offense last year. Now, the kind of the problem with Will Rogers was he loved the short to intermediate routes. There wasn't a whole lot of deep ball threats, and that's, you know, something that they're going to have to work on, because that's how you win football games in the modern day. So kind of see how that plays out with them. But I look for their offense to probably improve a little bit more this year. Defense was pretty solid. They ended up finishing 30th on the season, and as far as, you know, college football defenses go, so they'll probably be pretty decent. And with a just think about this, Jared, like, if Mississippi State is a competent, if they have a competent defense and they get any kind of traction going on their offense, that's a recipe for a 9-10 win season for them. I could see that happening. And that's pretty impressive. But if they can't get both of those pieces, a good defense and their offense, you know, scoring a lot of points, you're probably going to see kind of this average of like a 7-6 season again happening for them. Right now, ESPN predicts Mississippi State winning, Mississippi State winning 53% of the time. So I think this is kind of going to be a toss up. It's going to be, you know, who's a little bit, you know, feeling better. But I think all 3 times I've gone to Mississippi State, Auburn has lost. So I think I've vowed to never go to Stark Vegas.
Okay. Stop going. So, as you have already said, it's in the middle of nowhere. And you don't go to the middle of nowhere.
Exactly.
And we're not winning. So save your money.
Yes, I will save my money and my tank of gas to get over there.
Yeah, for sure.
But I still think this is one. So this is kind of one of the toss-ups in my mind. I think we could lose this game. Now, is it our hardest game? No. but we could lose it just because it's in Starkville. And I don't know why. I just have a bad feeling. Maybe it's my past history of us always losing it, feeling like we lose in Mississippi at Mississippi State, but I think we lose by 3 points. That's my official prediction. I hate it.
You're hurting me, AJ.
Sorry.
Hey, man. The reality is, we could lose any game.
We could lose to, you know, Morehead State if we played them. It's possible.
I feel like I have to justify my fandom and always positive nature, at least before season start, because I'm going to pick us to win. If I had to justify it, we got up, 28-7 last year or 28-10. And same old story. Got up on a team and could not find a way to keep, you know, pushing forward. I'm hoping we figure that out. And I would be highly surprised if Schmetting lets this will be a game he circles. They are not going to let that quarterback do the exact same thing he did last year. So really, if you take that away, if you take away just the total meltdown on Auburn's defense, we blow them out last year. And, you know, the games we've lost at State, there's been some just bonehead. I mean, there was a play where Jarrett Stidham just flat out overthrew Slayton, who was literally wide open. There's nobody even on the field. And it's a play like that that kept us from winning the game. So they're solid. They are solid. They're always good on D. They have a good D line. You never know with Leach, but I just feel like, I think we're going to circle that game, man. And I don't think Mississippi State is better than us talent-wise. We're going to circle the game. I think we win. I'm going to probably go I just don't think they're going to be able to stop us, really, at least maybe running the ball. I'm going to go 31-17.
Love it. So we win by two touchdowns? You're going to say we win
at Stark Vegas? Yeah, why not? Wow. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't have any coffee on this one, AJ. I'll say whatever. 51-17. I'm kidding.
Well, maybe we should make some bets.
Let's don't. Let me say dumb things and not have any ramifications.
Love it. Let's move on to the next one. We are moving into Texas A&M. This will be our 10th game of the season, November 12th. Right now, Texas A&M preseason is ranked number 6. Texas A&M has been killing it on the recruiting trail. I just can't help but think, you know, all that Texas money is finally starting to pay off. It's like,
yeah, I don't know if the former presidents have been killing it on the recruiting trail for them. all the ones on the dollar bills and $100 bills.
Oh, yeah.
But something's going on down there. They are definitely landing big time recruits.
Yeah. And, you know, that was kind of the off season, you know, Jimbo Fisher versus Saban fight.
Yeah, don't tell Jimbo that, right? Don't tell him that any of that's going on, because he will fight you.
Yeah, literally, probably. He just looks like a dude that could brawl.
He looks like somebody that always wants to fight somebody, and I don't know that he would win the fight.
Right.
But he's always like ready to, what'd you say? He's always ready to attack, and I'm like, chill out, man. Not a big Jimbo fan.
Yeah, me either. I think ever since him hiding Jameis Winston, you know, all the chaos that went on with him stealing stuff and whatever. Yeah, it's just like a slimy dude. Like, if he's ever considered to be a head coach at all, or even an assistant coach, I'm going to be like, nope.
I don't even want him. I think he's super overrated. He won a championship. I get that, right? But, they're an 8-4 team. Jimbo's, I will be surprised. I could be proven wrong, right?
My whole thing has always been, I feel like Texas teams they have the potential to win the championship, and yet they have not. When was the last time even University of Texas won something? And Texas A&M has had that capability. Think about the crazy Johnny Manziel times, and they couldn't even get an SEC championship. Like, isn't that crazy?
They've never even been to Atlanta, not for that reason. And I could be proven totally wrong, but I would love to see Jimbo's Florida State record outside of having Jameis Winston, because I feel like it got pretty bad, and that's why he left. Yeah, and now the program's been bad with the players he left there. So I don't know. I just not a. I don't. Hey, he beat Saban last year. Good for him. I can't believe he was the first former assistant to do that. But
yeah, and to do it with Calzada, who at the time was really, I mean, he wasn't even the starting quarterback. I mean, they had a different guy that was starting, and then because of an injury, you know, Calzada ends up coming in and, you know, plays and beats Bama. It's crazy.
So, somebody pointed this out, and if we are any good this year, which means we can have fun with stuff, they said that our third string quarterback beat Bama last year. I thought that was pretty good. That needs to be a t-shirt if we're any good going into that game.
Love it. I'll make that t-shirt. I'll sell it.
Our third string quarterback beat Bama.
That's awesome. But at this point, you know, Texas A&M, they kind of have their little quarterback battles thing going on, because they're Haynes King, who was, you know, they're supposed to be the quarterback last year, got injured pretty early. Zach Calzada comes in. We know the whole story. And then Calzada is, you know, transferred over to us at Auburn. And another thing kind of going against Texas A&M, their leading rusher, Isaiah Spiller, went to the NFL. They do have a good quarterback or running back right behind them, Devon Achane, which I remember him being a decent name last year. So I feel like he can step up, but they're going to have to, especially in the pass game, they are not good at passing the ball down the field. If they want to have success, they're going to have to do that. So another kind of thing about their defense. So they lost a lot of their stars off the defensive line. So there's going to have some, you know, pretty big holes at that point. Now, will guys step into those, you know, by the 10th game of the season? There's a good chance of that, but they're not going to be the veterans that have played on and on and on and played a long time with them. So that'll be kind of interesting to see, you know, how good is their defense, and how Auburn actually matches up to them at that point in the season. Right now, ESPN has Auburn winning that game. It's, again, in Jordan-Hare. We win that game 61% of the time. I do kind of feel like that's a little odd that we're predicted to beat a team that's number 6 in the preseason poll at home versus, you know, going to Mississippi State and we're predicted to lose that game. They're not ranked. Isn't that kind of a little weird?
Yeah, I mean, it goes to analytics versus, you know, headlines and people buy into headlines. And look, to be honest, even if A&M, they have the number one recruiting class, but very few of those players are going to impact this year, right?
Yeah.
Haynes King, he did get named starter, I think, this past weekend. But, I mean, he was injured 2 games in, so he missed all that learning. And I don't even know the guy. Maybe he was a stud coming out of high school. But, yeah, I mean, at the end of the – here's – I'm saying all this. I'm going to tell you, I can't – I'm at a point now where I got us going 10-2, and that's not going to happen. So, I got us losing to A&M. I think we lose to A&M. I mean, we got to lose something.
Yeah.
I hate it. I do not like Jimbo. I would rather lose to Mississippi State. But I got us losing this one probably by 6 points.
I would absolutely hate that. Just yep, because me – I mean – that's one if I was a coach, I'd be like circling this. Guys, we are preparing for this game. Because guess what? Odds are you're probably not beating Georgia or Bama. Yep. You're probably not.
I got us having losing something, though. I don't think we go 10-2, and people probably think I'm crazy. It's pretty obvious now. We got 2 more games. I got us going 9-3, so that's already crazy enough.
But I think you're – like, I tend to lean towards – yeah, in an isolated bubble, if you put each of these games kind of by themselves, I think we could win most games. I think the ones that we probably don't win, Georgia, Bama, and maybe A&M, there's a chance of it. Or even, you know, like I mentioned, you know, Starkville, you know, going down to Mississippi State, you kind of just, it's a behind the eight ball type thing, I feel like, when you go to Starkville. So
I think worst case, and ESPN even says A&M, but worst case, I think it's at least a 50-50 chance on most of the games we play. Georgia and Bama, it's not 50-50. It's going to take some big-time luck.
Oh, yeah.
A&M talent-wise is going to take luck, but it's at home. So, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, reality is last year it was 50-50 on a lot of them, and it all broke against us, and that just doesn't typically happen. That's super weird. ESPN said that never happens, the projected amount we were supposed to win after the game was, you know, third quarter and beyond. It's just, it was weird. And
yeah,
if it happens again, that's who Harsin is as a coach, and you are probably going to have to move on. But I just don't see that happening again. Not every one of them falling against us.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, there were so many things that I feel like so close to winning last year. You know, we could have easily had like an 8-4 season, and we didn't. I mean,
and if Bo doesn't go down, we easily do have an 8-4 season in my
right.
mind.
I think
and
so.
I don't
too.
Even think that highly of Bo. That's super talented, but I think if your starting quarterback does not go down, I think we easily go 8-4.
Yeah, and then you're viewing the season a lot different now.
Absolutely,
that's on the head coach to prepare for.
Yeah,
those chances where the key player does get injured, but at the same time, like, yeah, in an ideal world, that's what happens.
Bottom line is there are no excuses in this business. There's too much money. There's too much at stake. There's no excuses in this business.
Yeah.
But really, if you back away and pull the curtain back, there is a little bit of excuse, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got to find a way to win anyways. The great coaches do.
Right.
But there were reasons that it fell off a little bit.
Yeah. So my official Texas A&M prediction is Auburn wins this one by 3.
Woohoo.
Yeah. So.
Exciting.
We move on into Western Kentucky. Right before we go to Tuscaloosa. So this will be a heel up game, you know, the classic. All right, let's give ourselves a little bit of a breather. I could honestly even see maybe seeing, you know, a Robbie Ashford, a Calzada, maybe even Holden Gariner. If we haven't, you know, if we're sure he's not going to burn his red shirt, go for it. Like, this is the game to do it. You know, get some good, you know, actual game reps with him in there. So pretty cool there. Western Kentucky has done very well. They were 9-5. I think they were at the top of their conference. I don't know if they ended up winning it, but it kind of shows you, like, in their conference, they were a pretty good team last year. So despite all that, I still think we win. ESPN predicts us winning 88% of the time, and I'm going to predict very similarly. I think Auburn wins by 28 points, and I think we do it. Maybe even with our second or third string. So that would be kind of cool.
If this were last year, I would be a little more worried. Western Kentucky lost their offensive coordinator, who slings it all over the place, to Texas Tech, I believe. So he's gone now. In fact, there were rumors we were looking at him after Austin Davis debacle.
Oh, yeah.
But
I mean, Davis was on staff?
Yeah, for a moment, I believe. Like, don't blink. He's gone. There he is, and he's gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think last year a little more scary. I think their quarterback was just, even compared to like Joe Burrow and stats and stuff. But this year they don't scare me. I mean, at the end of the day, if Auburn can't beat Western Kentucky at home, we got bigger issues, and we might.
Yeah.
But I mean, score wise, I don't even know. I got us winning by 35.
35. I'll say that. Love it. I think it's pretty reasonable. At that point in the season, we should have our offense going and maybe even give some guys some rest. All right, so we move on into the Iron Bowl. In Tuscaloosa, this is one we all look forward to. Bama last season went 13-2, 7-1 in the SEC. We all know Saban. Saban's a little wishy-washy when it comes to, you know, new rules and stuff. And, you know, the NIL stuff we've already talked about, you know, him not liking it and then, you know, adapting. You know, Saban's one of the best at, like, complaining about it. You know, think about the no huddle stuff. You know, back in the day, he was like, oh, I hate this. This is bad for the sport. And then he starts doing it.
Well, he said it was player safety. So he either was lying or no longer cares about his players because they run that now. So I don't know. He had somebody needs to ask him that.
Right. If I was a reporter, I would definitely ask him. So,
Yell at you, but yeah, you could ask him.
I'll take the brunt of him yelling at me to get my question out, and it's fine. So yeah, just think back to last year. You know, we were so close. It was, again, one of those close games where we could have beat Bama. It literally took 4 overtimes for Bama to finally put us away. I mean, and it took, you know, Bryce Young, you know, driving 90 plus yards down the field on, you know, the last minute of the game for Bama to even go to overtime. Isn't that crazy? Like, we could have beat them. And,
well, it took holding Derek Hall in the end zone, which would have been a safety also. But it took the silliest of silly holding call. You know, I forgot. We threw a dump out to Jarquez late in the third, and he went like 40 yards, which that could have been huge, and they call holding or something that was not there.
It was not there.
So, you know, I hope Camden Brown does not go off in this game, because Saban will probably request that true freshmen cannot play in rivalry games. That'll be the rule next year.
Probably. So. That's probably going to be it. He's going to have something against us. I feel like every year there's like that one thing. Wasn't it like, was it 2019, where Bo's freshman year, where we, you know, the time is about to run out, and then at halftime, and then we kick a field goal, and then he's like, what? Are you kidding me? And then he like gets the rule change, and you're Saban, really?
Yeah, so in 2017 or 2013, he wanted a second back on so they could kick a field goal, and then now he's saying you can't. Yeah, so
wishy-washy. Like, he's so wishy-washy, you know? Like, well, what the heck?
He's very calculated. He appears to be, you know, like he called Jimbo out, and then, you know, and people started questioning Saban, and he was I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Yeah, you did. Your exact words were. So, anyways. Getting a little feisty. I probably need to go ahead and give my score prediction.
Yeah, give me your score prediction for the Iron Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we win it. I'm going to say we lose it probably by 13.
Okay.
It's just hard to win up there. They're, as much as I do not like them, they are very good.
Yeah, I'm feeling very similar. I mean, I just don't see it. Now, could we pull out a Cam back or something? Yeah, but I don't. I mean, maybe TJ is our Cam. But I just don't, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't.
You never know. I mean,
it could happen.
It can happen. I mean, I don't. The thing about Auburn is, and people say, why do they have so much success? They're just lucky. I mean, there's some luck, but we're so close in these games to where luck matters, right? The thing about Auburn is they really do not fear Alabama.
Yeah.
The players don't. Now, fans do, but the players are like, they're one of the few teams that thinks we can beat y'all.
Yeah.
And that's why we have such good success against them. We don't have that against Georgia. We got that monkey on our back. But Bama, we go into that game literally thinking our players think they can win the ball game.
Yeah. And I think you have to come into that. Like, you're not scared. And, you know, I feel like that's kind of, you know, been a big benefit for us. So I think we could do it. It's just a huge uphill to battle.
Yeah, I don't predict it, obviously. But, I mean, we're not scared. Most teams are already beaten before they say hut against Bama. Yeah. And Auburn is not.
Yeah. I'm going to officially predict that we lose by 10 to Bama. I think that brings me to, if I did my calculations right, 8-5, which I think
that would be
to
bowl
me,
game. Are you thinking we lose bowl game as well?
Yeah. No.
I mean, that's not surprising.
So 8-4.
I don't count bowls anymore because so many people sit out, and it's it's easy to say, well, of course you don't count them. Y'all lose them. Well, I don't really even, if we won them, I wouldn't. I mean, it's just it means less and less every year to me.
Yeah, until they put together, which I know they had proposed at some point, like expanding it to like a 16 team. We're like, really, that gets you 16 teams in there, or something like that. It's gonna be tough, like for a team to really justify, putting a ton of effort. Yeah, you got coaches and players will say it matters and whatever. It's a business trip. Let's be honest. They just come for the trip, for the fun.
They don't care. I mean, McCaffrey was, he made headlines a few years back when he set out the bowl game, and he was one of the first to start that trend for NFL reasons. And now I almost think you're dumb if you don't sit out.
Yeah.
I was super impressed with, was it Derrick Brown? In the, I don't know. A few
years ago. Yeah, Derrick Brown and Marlon.
Played. I'm like, why are you playing? I mean, I'm cringing every time they're in a play. I'm like, don't get hurt, you know?
Right. There have definitely been some Auburn players that have played that, like Derrick Brown and Marlon Davidson that were first and second round draft picks. And you're like, guys, I know you love this team and all. Like, I respect it.
I respect the heck out of it, but, like, I don't want you doing it because you've given us enough. This bowl game means nothing. Right. Now, playoffs, and it's going to start coming. You're going to see it in playoffs, too. But for right now, people are playing in the bowl games that quote-unquote matter. But, it doesn't take long. There'll be a player that'll sit out of that one too, because so much money, and that'll become the norm. But anyways, I'm rambling. I say 9-3 overall. Yeah.
I think 9-3 in a like what we've talked about, kind of in the isolated world of each game is by themselves, very doable. But we all know the chaos of the season. It's just, you just don't know. it's about to get real crazy, and I'm here for it. I'm here for it as an Auburn fan, for all the highs and lows, and ready to take it in. Getting my Fantasol.
Get your Fantasol ready,
Fantasol, whatever it's called. Yeah.
That's the SEC short video, if nobody's seen it, about Auburn. Fanzatol, it's a pill we take as fans.
Yep.
Go watch the video.
I'm going to probably bring that back. It's coming back.
It's a roller coaster ride as an Auburn fan, and it's what makes it awesome and frustrating.
Yep, absolutely. And I think we're all kind of here for it. I mean, I was just talking to an Auburn fan this weekend. They're like, yeah, we just, lost our athletic director. It's not going to be a great season. But we all know, come first game, we're going to think we're winning a national championship. And you're like, yep, I'm going to be right there with them.
Yep. And yep, until the first punt, I'm like, oh, we're going to be great. And then we punt against Mercer. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
That's how I do things.
Up and down, up and down. So, all right, Jared, any other final thoughts about this season coming into 2022 season? How are you feeling? Like, feeling pretty good?
Nope. But as you said, as we went through each game, I'm like, I think we win that game. So, I don't know. I really have no idea what to think. I've never been this wide of a range. I would not. If you told me we're going to go 5-7 or 10-2, I could find an argument for both.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Like, man, what a weird world we live in.
Yep.
As Auburn fans, at least. All right, yep. Jared, before we get out of here, how can the people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jared Davis.
You can find me on Twitter at @AJAY_. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger, and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.